Thank you very much. Thank you, Hillary. Can you all hear me? Okay, good. All right. Starting off today, I was just basically going to start with a history of what we've seen with the cotton blue disease caused by cotton leaf roll dwarf virus, so you at least get the timeline of what we have seen in Alabama. Then Dr. Judy Brown is going to go and explain all of the identification that she's done for us to help us identify this new problem that we have. I am very lucky in Alabama that we get to work with Drew Scrimshire, who is an agronomist working with AgriFC and our Alabama farmers. And he's the agronomist that's out there in the field every day. I'm in the lab and up at Auburn University, but he walks the fields every day. And those are the guys that can actually call me when there's something wrong, and I really get some great diseases from these folks. So it's great to be able to work with these guys. Drew called me, and thanks to our cell phones, he sent me that picture on August 29th, 2017, and said, "We have a problem. You've got to come to the field. We've got a problem. We see a deformation on our younger leaves." He said, "Everybody's going to think this is herbicide, but it is not. You've got to come see." So August 31st, the students and I loaded up, and we went to visit Drew in the cotton fields, and we went through cotton fields that day. And on the left-hand side, do we have a... We just have this pointer, right? Yep. Okay. They were having a whitefly epidemic, and I'm not an entomologist either. But you'd walk in those cotton fields, and whiteflies were going everywhere. So I know the entomologists were meeting and talking about how to manage this problem. So then Judy also, I sent those to her, and she identified this as our whitefly, and that was our bee type that she did identify. These are the symptoms that we saw in the field. We saw the crinkling of the upper leaves. Is basically what we saw. We went through, and in the map, this is over in what we call the wiregrass area. We went through three counties that day looking at field symptoms. We went to areas where we knew we had herbicide damage and looked at symptoms, and then we went to areas where there was no way this could be herbicide. So we went through many field sites, we collected a lot of samples, and we went back to the lab. And as I normally do, we went to the compendium, and I started looking up viruses. It looks like a virus. And this is what we found. These are the list of the viruses. If my mouse, there we are. And look, the very first one, cotton leaf crumples, called by the white fly, is known to occur in the Southwest, and the author of the article is Dr. Judy Brown. So I have a person to talk to. There were several other viruses. Notice some aphid ones, other white fly ones, but nothing in the United States. So I went and found Dr. John Murphy, our virologist, and he said, "Yes, I know Judy Brown. Just email her. This is her email, and she'll help you." Yes. And in the compendium, as we were looking, we thought we had this solved. This would be no problem. So you see, we have our Alabama symptoms, severe whitefly infestation. This is the pictures in the compendium, also associated with whitefly. We thought we had this organized as the cotton leaf crumple virus, and Judy was our expert. It should be no problem. It never quite turns out as you expect, though, does it? I sent samples to Judy. She very kindly said she would look at them because we were expecting the bigamoviruses, and nothing was positive. So we go back to the same fields, and this is our sample from August, and look what we found in September. This is much more severe, much more dramatic. Inner nodes are becoming quite stacked. We're not seeing any flowering. We're seeing much more of this puckering, rugose, this type of tissue. It looks much more severe. We collected more samples and we sent them to Judy. And notice I've just enlarged some of our samples so you can see the leaf visual symptoms. Sometimes we have a yellow vein. Sometimes we have some red veins. It's a lot of diversity in the symptoms on this virus. And just so you can have a perspective, this is the field for the virus. This is one of our cotton fields where we have our reniform nematode, but no virus. So our healthy plant on the right and the disease virus-looking plant on the left. It's dramatic. So at that time... Judy had isolated, the bigamoviruses were all negative. I've sent her samples, I think, three different times, And she had other ideas she'll tell you about on how to identify what was causing the problem. But Drew made us our maps to show us where he had seen these. So these were the locations where Drew was in the field, and we had taken samples from this area. When we were down here, we saw symptoms. And Drew has plots with growers in Florida and in Georgia, and those were his fields. And all these are were just the places we saw symptoms. So we knew where we had seen it in 17. Judy started working on more identification, and on March 16th, I get an email from Judy. She worked very hard, and we appreciate all your efforts. And she said, "You have cotton leaf roll dwarf virus, atypical type, typically commonly known as cotton blue disease. It's not a Bigamo virus. This is a Pilarovirus, and this one's aphid transmitted." Quite a surprise, not what we were expecting. So from this, she also let us know it's a positive sense single-stranded RNA, and this is the genome size. So I just looked up online to see what does this look like, what are we working against. And these are the spherical isodynamic type of particles. So each little particle contains the RNA virus, and they pack tightly in the cells. But that is what the virus looks like. So I was very surprised. She called APHIS to let them know it existed, and then we started looking at the literature. And we started asking, what are the managements that they do in Brazil? We control because of the reservoir of the host. This virus has to live in a plant somewhere, so we start looking for weeds. They also talk about eliminating cotton regrowth. Usually that's not an issue in our area. We freeze, so usually that's not an issue. Then they talked about cultivar selection. And there's a lot of whether there are resistance or not resistance, so there's a lot of whichever may be available. Then they also mentioned chemical control of aphids when 5 to 10% of the plants are affected. But they also had a lot of caution that they have problems with insecticide efficacy. So we know we've got to be careful there. But that's what we had known. So, and Judy said, go look at the weeds. See if we've got some reservoirs. Is this going to really blow up or not? This one, she said, was in the Malvaceae family. That's 244 genera of plants, over 4,000 different species. That's huge. So we went back to that area of the state, went back to all the old fields. The only plants that had aphids were dandelions, prickly cider, and red clovers, and we collected those in the aphids. We also collected, 40-odd weeds, anything we could find, and we sent them all to her. Everything was negative. But that doesn't mean it's not there. We weren't able to find it. So we were watching carefully this year to see what happens. And on June 7th, Drew called. Aphids were breaking out in Barber County again. So this is what we saw, the coupling of the plant. Aphids were just everywhere. Bottom of the leaf would have hundreds of them. We collected the samples from the apical meristem and sent them to Judy. And very unexpectedly, no virus. So we went back to the field. June 25th, can you see the progression? We have more symptomatic tissues, fewer aphids because they sprayed them all, but we collected more symptomatic samples and sent them to Judy. No virus. Judy came to see us. She needed some virus. So we all went out to the field, into those same field plants, and we found some symptoms. We collected them all. Judy also met with everybody here at Auburn, shared the primers that worked with our diagnostic lab so we could identify as well. And then she went home and looked at these samples, and we had no virus. I know, no, we were quite frustrated at that time. But it would have been fine if it just disappeared. But then Bob came, we were going to have a virus meeting, everybody could talk about it. We went out and visited our Fusarium wilt field. And what did we find? Virus. These are the Pima cottons, and these were the samples with symptoms, and we found virus. Notice that this is not in the same area. It's over here in central Alabama. Cassie also came out to this field, took samples, and she identified it with the primers that Dr. Brown had done, and I sent them also, and they were identified in both locations, so we had positives. At this point, Dr. Connor identified and let APHIS know that they were existing here in Alabama as well. And Judy felt confident, and she submitted the first report. So we put in the first report with all that information as well. And now that's in plant disease. But at this time, with our extension counterpoints, and this map is courtesy of Dr. Connor in our extension lab, we decided to go out and look and see how extensive this was in Alabama. So these are the states Where Cassie did identify, it was positive in Alabama. All these samples, though, were collected by us, were extension, research, as well as Drew and anybody that was out in the field. So all of us that went out and looked, and remember, these samples were September and October of this year, and that's how far they found it across the state with everyone looking. However, to take note, you see this Limestone County in the top? All right, mouse. This is up in the top. This is actually our reniform nematode field, and we were just up there taking our bowl samples for lint as we were doing normally, and it had been defoliated quite a bit of time earlier, and we hadn't been able to harvest because it rained and rained and rained. So we had a lot of regrowth, if you can see in here. So I was looking at that regrowth, and I thought, oh, no, that sure looks symptomatic. So we collected these samples. We sent them to the labs, both, and they've identified cotton blue disease. So it was in this tissue. And in this field, we were there every month looking at it all summer long. No virus symptoms. Nothing was in that field at all until it was on this regrowth. That was the first time we saw it. So in our normal, we ran down to the south part of the state, down in Baldwin County, where we have our root knot nematode fields. And these are the cotton varieties that Drew gives me each year. And we plant them in the root knot field and in an adjacent field without root knot just to look at the potential of some kind of tolerance and who does well or best in the root knot field. And then we went down, it was October, late in October, we were collecting our bowl samples, and look what we saw. Symptoms. Now, the whole time I've been working on the virus with Judy, she often asked me, what's our incidence? How many plants have this virus? So this time I could tell her. We went through these plots, and in the root knot field, we just walked through as we were collecting our bowls and counted all the plants with symptoms. It was not that hard, 100%. There was not, we ended up looking for plants without symptoms. Every plant in the root knot field had symptoms, and every plant in the adjacent field without root knot had symptoms. Now again, we had been in this field every month all summer long and never saw any symptoms. Now we did plant this one May 16th. We had 5 inches of rain over the next week. We finally got back in the field June 9th, which was a Saturday, and replanted. So this was a late planted field. We had many more inches of rain, but that was too late. That was what we had to live with on the stands. And that's the history on this field. We took samples for nematodes in July, no symptoms. But from what we can tell over these years, it seems to show up very late in the season. This, on the good note, this is the yield of that field plot, both of them actually put together. And if you're looking at all of our varieties, notice all the companies are represented. Drew gives me some of everything. And we have them without nematode and with the nematicide.